to the Infernal Brains podcast, a joint venture between TarsTarkus.net and 40K. I'm Tars Tarkus.
And I'm Todd Statman from 40K, a.k.a. Die Danger, Die Die Kill.
We're the only podcast that will not pronounce the names correctly of anyone we talk about tonight.
I don't know if we're the only one, but I think that we can make it our claim to fame.
Yes.
We're guaranteed not to pronounce anyone's name.
If we pronounce anyone's name correctly tonight, you win a prize.
If you're Turkish. Only if you're Turkish. Yes. You can't call us out if you can't produce proof that you are a Turkish speaker.
Be sure to contact us before we're finished recording the program.
Right, because this is live.
The subject today is Turkish pop cinema, namely their superhero films, of which they are literally dozens of films, many of which you will recognize the characters, sort of.
Yeah, I don't feel like we need to give a lot of background on this, because somewhat perversely, I think of I now kind of think of these Turkish pulp movies as being sort of mainstream compared to the other things we write about. I mean, I feel like a lot of people, at least in the cult movie community, have seen at least a couple of these movies, you know, and so whenever I come back to writing about it, well, I mean, even like, you know, a lot of these films are things like Turkish Star Wars and Satan have become sort of popular party movies, so they're like actually frat boys who have seen these movies, you know. So
you shy away from things people have normally seen.
Exactly. So whenever I I'm writing about something for Teleport City, if I'm writing about an old Turkish superhero movie, it's like, oh, it's very cozy. It's like, oh yeah, you know, old home week, you know. This is like mainstream territory. Maybe that's perverse, I don't know.
Okay, let's start out with a Turkish Batman film. The title is Bedmen Yasara Adam. And it's from 1973. It's not the only Turkish Batman film out there. There was another one we know about called Fantoma Istanbul Bulu Salim. And that one is...
I think you pronounced that perfectly in my personal judgment.
And that one, Batman actually fights Fantoma, which is the Turkish version of Fantomas, the French anti-hero.
Right, who pops up a lot in Turkish movies. Is that a 60s movie, that one?
I believe so, but since no one really has a copy of it, that's about all we know about it besides one photo.
Yeah. Turkish movies it's another one of those national cinemas that's really good to stoke your frustration, because a lot of the coolest sounding movies, like with Filipino trash movies, a lot of the best trash Turkish movies are gone forever.
There's a Turkish Batgirl film called Ukan Kiz, which I probably mangled the pronunciation, but that one doesn't seem to be around either, so that's all you'll know about that one. Well, the Turkish Batman from Bedmen Yasara Adam basically is a detective guy who dresses as Batman, and he lives with his friend Robin, who's just another normal guy who dresses as Robin, and they get called in to solve crimes, and when Bedmen is not solving the big crime, he's having sex with women or punching people.
Mm-hmm. The movies in general have a very casual attitude towards the whole alter ego idea, wouldn't you say? It seems like it's very mask optional for most Turkish superheroes.
Large fight scenes where he doesn't bother to put on his mask at all.
Right.
But he'll be wearing the costume. And sometimes he won't even be doing that.
That happens a lot. I think it's Iron Claw the Pirate. Is sometimes he goes out without his mask on, but the rest of the costume, same thing. And then in Three Dev Adam, which is sort of like, you know, the apex of Turkish copyright flaunting superhero movies, you have like Captain America and Santo, and a lot of time they don't wear they're very open about their identities, and it's kind of like they just kind of put on their costumes. It's sort of like just their working clothes. And there's even a scene where a cop asks Captain America why he wears the costume. And Captain America says it's a way of drawing, because the bad guy in the movie is Spider-Man, and Captain America says, well, it's my way of I'm trying to fake Spider-Man out, basically, that, you know, Spider-Man's sort of this weirdo who wears a costume, so if I wear the costume, it's like I'm challenging him.
Yeah.
Basically. It's a very... I think it's because of it's sort of a manly culture, so they're sort of trying to reconcile that with these guys wearing tights and, you know, possibly. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go back to Bedmen.
Yes.
Bedmen! Yeah.
The one thing you'll take away from the Bedmen film is that in the 1970s, everyone in Turkey went to nightclubs every night where women stand around and take off their clothes and sing. And they got really, really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, not only in this film, but many other films have just long sequences that take place in nightclubs where they can just fill the film with someone singing a song that was popular most probably in the West or in Europe, just in Turkish. And so you'll sort of recognize it, but it'll be have a little twist.
Yeah, this is the only movie that you'll see, in which you'll see a Batman and Robin hanging out at a strip club.
Yeah.
And it's not part of, you know, it's their leisure time. They're definitely not doing as part of their investigation.
Mm-hmm. Well, the guy who plays Bedman is an actor named Levent Kakir. And he is all over the map when it comes to the Turkish pop cinema films. He played a Turkish Rambo character in Ramo, which is one of several Turkish Rambo films. He was in Altar, which is a Turkish Conan ripoff. And he was in Three Supermen and a Mad Girl, which is a crazy take on those Three Supermen films.
Like the Italian Three Supermen films, yeah.
And in fact, they even stole footage from that and put it in Three Supermen at the Olympics, so he also shows up in there.
And Three Supermen at the Olympics is also... That's a Turkish production as well, right?
I think it's co-produced.
Oh, co-produced. Italy. Wow, okay.
He's also in Your Hunter from the Future, which you could... I don't know if he's in the movie cut or the original Italian four-night miniseries cut. So I didn't really keep an eye out for him back when I saw Yor when I was 8. So,
but it's a reason to watch it again, definitely. Yes. If you need a reason to watch Yor Hunter from the Future again, definitely would be to pick out the star of Bedmen, Urassa Adam, in there.
Yes, he also played Superman once again in Super Adam. That's where Superman is basically a hired spy who comes to Turkey wearing a cowboy hat and barely wears his costume at all. And he's in two of the Zagor films, which is sort of a pop comic western superhero character.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen those films, though, sadly. But they do exist.
But those are around, yeah. It's on our list. We'll have to do a special Zagor-themed episode somewhere down the line. Because there's at least two of those movies, right?
Yeah, and then I also found I think it's a Croatian Zagor comedy parody film. I think it's
Croatian. Good. That Zagor needed a taking down. He needed to be taken down a peg. I'm glad someone satirized him.
Yes. So that's what he gets for being Zagor.
Yeah.
So Bedmen is actually one of my favorite of the Turkish pop films because pretty much the action doesn't stop. Even during like the long fight sequences, they don't get as monotonous as some of the other films. There's lots of even the nightclub sequences are slightly more imaginative than the other ones, largely due to they show more the reaction of the people watching as opposed to just setting the camera on the lady singing for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I guess they're a little more dynamic. The fight scenes, I think, are also more choreographed than what you usually see, because Batman and Robin do some sort of tandem moves. They like do some, they do some like choreographed. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous when they're doing like backflips and, you know, they're synchronized. And then there's a move where Robin picks Batman up so he can kick a guy, and you know, it's very, and there's some very intimate contact between Batman and Robin during the fight scenes too.
Yes, it's very.
It's very titillating.
Yes. It's also one of several of these films where the bad guy doesn't reveal himself until the very end, even though he's the character you figured out who it is mm-hmm. because it's almost always played by the same actor.
Right, so, it's a bald guy, right?
Yeah.
Is it Gunbei? Yeah. What's the guy's name?
Altan Gunbei.
Altan Gunbei. Yeah, who was an opera singer apparently, and he the first movie he appeared in was Golden Boy, which was the James Bond knockoff, mm-hmm. and they had him shave his head for the role, and that. Because he played the sort of Blofeld-like mm-hmm. supervillain in that. And he was such a big hit in that he kept getting more parts. But every part that he got, they insisted that he shave his head.
Yeah.
So that became like his trademark, sort of much to his chagrin. I don't think he was happy about that. And then he became such a well-known bad guy that he mm-hmm. would get attacked by people in the streets of Turkey.
Yep.
Because he always played these kind of Blofeld. Sometimes he had a scar. I can't remember which one that was. But I think even in Bedman, doesn't he have the cat? Blofeld, yeah.
One of he has cats in at least two of these films.
Uh-huh.
And the cats are trained enough that they look at the camera while the whole action is going on.
Right. So yeah. So he Altan Gunbei is basically the Turkish Blofeld.
Yes.
In many many films. My only thing with I really like this movie too. The only thing I found parts of it a little slow because it's kind of ironic that with the superhero movies that were made in Turkey in the 70s, it was during a time where the censorship standards were a lot more lax than in the 60s. So in this movie, there's actually a lot more nudity and kind of softcore sex, which I definitely don't have a problem with that in itself. Except that the nudity and softcore sex, the sort of cheesecake and softcore sex scenes sort of slow the movie down at points, even though it is kind of funny because it seems like other than fighting the Turkish Blofeld, Batman and Robin's main job is saving naked women from being raped because there seems like there's a few scenarios where they, conveniently bust into a room just when a woman is about to be raped, and then after they've beaten up the rapists, it's time for Robin to skedaddle so mm-hmm. that Batman can get his just rewards, basically. His consensual just rewards, yes. I'll say, but yes. But that's a minor quibble. I probably didn't even make it sound like a quibble at all, actually. Well, my favorite Turkish films, it's like I wish I could pull out an obscurity like Bedman, even though I like that one. But, I have to say I really like Three Devadam. I mean, that's, you can't really go wrong when you have Captain America and Santo in the same movie fighting side by side. And then Spider-Man as a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And just also because it's sort of it's such a perfect example of that sort of Turkish mashup copyright ignoring aesthetic. I think there's two different types of the Turkish ripoff movies, and I think Three Devadam is the good kind, and then there's the kind like the Superman movie that I think Kunt Tolgar did that, and things like Satan, the movies that are actually where they're just redoing a Hollywood film. Like Satan is literally, almost a scene for scene remake of.
Yeah, they just slightly make it more Islamic than.
They do some things. Yeah, definitely, they do a few little things to alter it for the culture. But it's a sort of thing where it's really novel. Like when you first start watching Satan, or you start mm-hmm. watching Superman. It's funny at first, but it's like once you get it, it's just kind of, okay, I know how this is going to go. But Three Devadam is crazy. A movie like that, they just kind of pick and choose freely from these different pop culture elements, and not just American pop culture elements, but Santo is in it. Mm-hmm. But then they kind of retool it for their own purposes. They don't really, they're definitely not, these aren't movies for people who really put a lot of investment in canon. It's like, the alter ego of Captain America is not the, the blonde-haired Steve Rogers of the comic books. And Santo isn't the real life wrestler. He's mm-hmm. some young guy who never even wears his mask a lot of time, where Santo would never be seen without his mask on camera. So it's really, I like the repurposing. I love kind of, there's a cheekiness to it. it's not a slavish imitation. I think a lot of people make fun of these movies because there's sort of a chauvinism of... I think a lot of films from sort of these smaller film cultures, when they use elements, familiar elephants. Yes. The familiar elephants I really appreciate in any movie.
That's a different podcast.
Different podcast, familiar. And, you know, once in a while you like a strange elephant too, yes. But I don't really want to get into that. But, you know, I think there can be the chauvinistic attitude of, oh, they're just ripping off American culture and ha ha ha, isn't it funny? But that's not what's going on a lot of time. I mean, they're taking these things and they're repurposing them to their own ends, a lot like they do in the Philippine films too, and I really like that about Three Devadam as well. So one of my favorite Turkish superhero ripoff movies is Three Devadam, which is actually a movie that you can purchase from Onar Films. I think that's still available as far as I know.
Yeah, I'm not sure on what's still available or not.
If anyone that doesn't know, there's a company out of Greece called Onar Films that puts a lot of these films out, and they put a lot of love and care into releasing these films, and they're all very limited releases. They're mm-hmm. definitely not getting rich off it. So if you're interested in any of these films, the ones that are available from Onar, you should buy them instead of...
Onar is basically one guy.
One guy, Bill, yeah. So, yeah, send Bill your money. Don't download the movie. Yeah. This is someone you should support.
Well, when Spider-Man isn't murdering girls in the shower and throwing eyeball-eating hamsters at people, he also popped up in a couple other Turkish Spider-Man films, one of which we know only from a picture, which I can't tell you anything about because this is audio, so you'll have to look at the video version.
Right. I think didn't you post it on TarsTarkus.net, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the one we actually know about and can see is called Arumsek, which is Turkish for spider.
Right. And the first one is called Arumsek Adam, which actually means Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yes. And this one's the Spider-Man. It basically looks like a space cadet with a picture of a spider on his shirt.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of sort of a riot police helmet.
Yeah,
sort
or
of
like
thing.
Like Prince of Space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so...
But he's definitely not as lithe as Sonny Chiba, though.
No. And this Spider-Man gets involved, and he fights some gang that seems to be doing illegal gun trafficking and something to do with wine, because there's wine at several of these... There's also treasure involved for some reason, so they're gun running in treasure sites with wine, and so at some point he shoots up a bunch of wine, so I guess maybe they're making counterfeit wine.
Definitely.
I don't see why you'd have to call in a superhero to take down a wine ring.
Yeah, really.
Unless it's Al Capone running it.
Who's the bad guy? I only watched the beginning of this movie, I have to admit. I maybe watched the first half hour of it. It wasn't horrible, but it was sort of like, okay, I know where this is going. But who, I can't remember, was it another bald Blofeld guy in this movie?
Yeah. And then he has a couple henchmen. One of them looks exactly like Biff Tannen from 1985, the alternate evil universe Biff Tannen. And so they have that guy running around too, which is sort of funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then... Like, since this is another one from the 70s, there's, you know, a bunch of nudity thrown in, even though this version seems to be cut down to an hour, which makes me wonder what even was taken out.
Yeah.
And at one point there's a sex sequence with two characters on the floor of a cave, and the woman has a gigantic spider on her underwear, which...
Is it an applique, or is it actually... I mean, does she know that it's there?
I think she knows it. There's just there's a big... model spider there, and she's not having sex with Spider-Man even though he's watching from another cave, but
yeah, this is another thing about the Turks is they know how to take us. They can take anything and just make it a lot sleazier because that's the way they like it.
Yeah,
I mean, the Bedman movie was a good example too of taking. I mean, you think Christopher Nolan went dark with Batman, but you know, he didn't cheat on his girlfriend and go to strip clubs, you know, like the guy in Bedman did. But
yeah, that Bedman, he'll be on Jerry Springer at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
So a Rumsek, like, well, it's okay. It's not like it's not spectacular, but it's not super long too. So even though there are a few slow sequences, it's not like you have to wait an hour for the action to happen. It's more like you have to wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, it's recommended for if you want to see something cool, but it's not the one Turkish superhero.
Yeah,
film
yeah, definitely should not be your introduction to Turkish superhero cinema. Who played the lead in that? He was kind of a big sort of portly guy too.
Some guy named Hussein Zan, who I don't have a big cast list for him, so I don't think he was that popular, but he was a bit tubby. So
yeah,
he looked like, you know, he was pushing 40.
Yeah,
and you know had too much Turkish beer and and cigars and.
Yeah, usually these guys are at least, the guys who play the leads are at least pretty athletic, but he was more in the of the Steven Seagal body type, I think. And another thing I was thinking when you were talking about how it was sort of vague what the exact criminal plot in this was, I was kind of thinking about this today because I was watching Killink and reading back over some of my Teleport City reviews. I think it's hard to overemphasize the influence on these movies of the old American Republic movie serials.
Yeah.
And especially Yılmaz Atadinas, who's sort of the, I don't know if he's the father of this genre, but he's definitely one of the patron saints of it. He did all the Killink movies, and he did Casus Karan, which is the Turkish version of Spymaster. He obviously was a big fan of Republic serials, especially the Republic serials directed by a guy named William Whitney, who directed Spy Smasher, and he directed The Mysterious Dr. Satan, which Yılmaz Atadinas did a remake of as The Deathless Devil, and he also directed The Adventures of Captain Marvel, which Atadinas, like the first Killink film in a lot of ways was a remake of that, because the whole aspect of the guy who says Shazam and turns into Superman and he has the big overstuffed chest and everything, a lot of those scenes and those ideas are taken from the Captain Marvel serial. But anyway, structurally, obviously the serials were by nature very episodic, and I think because they were geared toward, you know, a 10-year-old attention span, they didn't really build on a continuing story. How they worked is because you'd basically just see 20 minutes of this serial a week, is they'd basically start out and they'd establish your good guy, whether it was Batman or the Green Hornet, and then they'd establish your bad guy, who was, you know, if it was wartime, it was going to be some Japanese or Nazi spy. And then from then, it's like every episode was sort of a different threat. It's like episode one, you know, the villain creates a death ray, and then Batman, you know, thwarts that. So the next one, he, you know, has a burrowing underground machine or something like, and the next time he has a hypnotizing beam or something. So, and that's the way a lot of these Turkish movies play out. There's really not a plot. They're really just about having some kind of thin connective tissue to have a lot of fight scenes, which is what the serials were all about. And so, really, there's never, it's really just about, you know, a film like Iron Claw the Pirate. You're introduced to Iron Claw the Pirate, he's your masked hero, with the bad guys, Fantomas. Fantomas comes to Turkey, and then just Fantomas does all this random stuff. It's not like there's like a bomb or some microfilm that has to be gotten. It's just like, okay, the first 10 minutes we're dealing with Fantomas has like a shipment of TNT that he shipped into Turkey. We don't know why, but, you know, Iron Claw will show up and thwart that. And then there's just all these various schemes that go on. And so it can be sort of, if you're looking for something to hang on to as far as there being like a plot when you're watching one of these movies, you're going to be frustrated because they're extremely episodic, and really what you have to do is just kind of let the wave of meaningless action sort of just wash over you and not look for any meaning to it all, you know.
In recent years, a lot of the older serials have showed up on DVD and got a lot easier to watch, and like you'll watch those and watch these, and it's they're pretty similar, and yeah. They all have the all of them, like a hallmark. A lot of those will be the character will get in like 5 minute long fist fights
right.
with two or three people, and like he punches them all, but everyone takes more punches to the face than an actual boxing match in mm-hmm. those 12 rounds, and no one even has a scratch except.
Right.
Unless it's like a Phantom film where they're supposed to get punched and have the ring mark in their face or something.
Right. Yeah, and there's always people falling off balconies, especially yeah. in the Republic ones. I guess that was their trademark. But, yeah, and it's always a bunch of guys in suits with hats, and their hats yeah. never fall off. And that's in the Turkish movies, too. It's always the guys always... The good guys always just fighting like six guys in mm-hmm. suits with hats on, and their hats never fall off yeah. at all. So that's
they do like the leaping punch where they have both hands out and they hit
right.
like four people and
yeah, right. And the windmill thing where all the guys fall on top of each
yeah.
other. So yeah, that's definitely the lineage. Yeah, and I'd recommend. I think the best of those, if you really want to get a sense of sort of the roots of these movies, the original Spy Smasher serial is actually really entertaining. I wouldn't recommend watching the whole thing in one sitting because it gets very repetitive, but you will definitely see a lot of great, really well-staged, really rowdy fight scenes, which definitely had a big influence on these Turkish films.
Mm-hmm.